hello. I'm Sam McEwen, along with Chris Hetty and Evan Bland, who is at Memorial Stadium. You may notice that it is completely full today. So the governor's going to have to do something about that order. That's just the background that Evan came up with. So hello, everyone. This is Friday, March 20th. I think this is day six of, whatever you want to call it, social distancing plan. I've been out and about maybe like two or three times, not a whole lot. We have the kids here at home. It's been an adventure with them not being in school and having to sort of muddle through everything. Chris,
yeah,
how are you? I know you've been out and about looking for pickup basketball games.
I've left twice. Once was yesterday because I needed to get out of the house, and then 2 days ago when I left to go look for basketball players, but that's it. So I've been home driving myself insane as my wife saves the world in pharmacies, and I write about basketball because that's what's important.
God bless your wife. My video has gone off for a minute because I had to close the door behind me, and that would have been kind of pointless to see that. Evan, how are you doing?
Yeah, man, doing well. It's been a weird week, right? You go from thinking about spring football and baseball to getting creative with things. But yeah, I've been home most of the week, went to the grocery store Monday or Tuesday, and they wipe everything down for you. And otherwise, just been home with my wife and 3-year-old son. And, again, you got to get kind of creative with the day to day, but, hanging in there.
That's good that they did that. Did they have toilet paper at the grocery store when you went?
No, no toilet paper. I don't understand that phenomenon. I just don't. Even if you have the coronavirus, one of the symptoms does not involve, the use of toilet paper as a symptom. So, I don't know. I missed out on that one. Maybe you guys can enlighten me as to kind of why that's flying off the shelves.
Maybe people are afraid that if we have to a stay-at-home order, that some of the stores are going to try price gouging toilet paper. And so they wanted to get it early so that they could get it at a better price. Otherwise, I don't really know what the reason would be.
I mean, in an emergency, right? People have Kleenex. People have paper towels. There are other options. I don't know. I don't get why that's the thing. And there's a ton of food out there, but you can't get the toilet paper. But
okay. Well, we do have a few things to talk about. We've been talking to different folks this week, just about Nebraska athletics, and Chris obviously doing the basketball story. So we're going to kind of try to cover everything that we've kind of been going through. And there's actually news to discuss. The Nebraska basketball team is busy in the transfer portal churn. We'll touch on that. The Nebraska football team is not in spring practice, but they are still recruiting. And so there are things going on there. Evan talked to a couple of recruits. I talked to a couple of recruiting analysts. And then Evan's going to have a story for Sunday about what it will mean for Husker football players if they don't get their spring back. And then I actually talked to Nebraska women's basketball coach Amy Williams, and they, I think, are the first coaching staff that is doing a virtual tour for recruits. And so they are sort of following I think they were doing it before Kansas football did it. And so that was an interesting little side note to hear that they're trying that virtual tour out and seeing how it's going to go, because they're still trying to add players to their 2020 recruiting class. But I have to remind everybody that we still have a great sponsor. I'm guessing that their job is a little bit more important right now in some ways. Team Schwalbach is a family-owned all-state agency, the Schwalbach Agency. With floor licensed insurance pros saving thousands of Nebraska Husker fans money, they sell homeowner, auto, life, and flood insurance across Nebraska. They also insure all the big boy toys. Those have probably been put away for the time being. Motorcycles, boats, RVs, off-road vehicles, although maybe you could live in an RV. And if you're out in somewhere, you can maybe get an off-road vehicle. That is a safe social distancing event, I suppose. If you stay to your off-road vehicle, it can only be on yours. If you've had your roof replaced in the last 5 years, give Joel Schwalbach, Kyle Schwalbach, Nancy Mostek, or Kyle Murdoch a call at 402-590-5200. We are going into tornado season, so that's something worth noting. We're also going into hail season. Some people got hail yesterday. They can help you save a bundle. They'll free no obligation insurance reviews and quotes. They're going to make sure that all the Nebraska football fans are properly protected. You can contact Fallbuck Agency at 402-590-5200 or www.nebraskaallstate.com. That's www.nebraskaallstate.com. Thank you for the Schwalbach Agency, Team Schwalbach. Well, we will start with the most relevant news that is going right now. Obviously, all sports have been shut down. It doesn't appear that we're going to see really anything in the way of organized practices or organized games this spring. The practices, I think the Big Ten's going to reevaluate April 6th or something like that. I would be surprised if the coronavirus peak had already passed this by then. It's possible, but it's also likely that it won't, because the numbers keep climbing every day as more and more people get tested, as more and more people test positive because they've been positive. It wasn't like the positive test turned them positive. So there's more people out there who probably have it than we realize, and over time that's going to, you know, sort of change, I suppose. So I don't know if the peak will be over. So it's a good chance that most practices are done. Most organized team events are done. Most athletes have gone home. Nebraska athletes have gone home. I know that all of the Nebraska women's basketball team has gone home. Most of the track athletes have gone home. About half, probably more than half now, the football players have gone home. The weight rooms were going to be open, but now they're not going to be open. So they're going to close, or they have closed. So a lot of the athletes are going to go home. Nebraska's kind of encouraging some of them to stay, but I'm not sure that a lot of them will, because a lot of the athletes just aren't from the state of Nebraska. And so it can be hard when you're far away from family in a really difficult time. People just want to be around the people that they know, which is totally understandable. However, recruiting doesn't stop, especially in basketball, and neither does roster movement. And so we will start here with Chris, that Nebraska has at least one player in the transfer portal. They have another player who is declared for the NBA draft and is going to keep his eligibility, but seems to be on the way out.
Yeah.
And then there might be more players who potentially could be on their way out and more players who'd be coming in. Plus, they got a commit from Kobe Webster right as everything was shutting down. So, Chris, run everybody past everything that's happened and where we are right at this moment.
Okay. Well, after the chaos of the Big Ten tournament, Nebraska came home, and the plan for Fred Hoiberg to meet with players still happened. So they met with players this week. This is kind of what we expected, where it's kind of what happened last year, where he gets hired, he meets with the current roster, they go over what their expectations are and kind of how they meet them. And so now we've kind of seen at least one transfer now, which Jervay Green, who's gone. He entered the transfer portal. Don't expect him to return to Nebraska. So he's gone. Cam Mack declared for the NBA draft while I was at the Machine Shed in Davenport, Iowa. So that was really nice timing. Right as I was finishing up a sandwich. So that was good. But he declared for the NBA draft. He actually declared, deleted it, and then redeclared like 8 hours later. But he's not been back to Nebraska since he left to go to Texas. So I don't expect him to be back at Nebraska. He's going to keep his eligibility, but if he does come back to college basketball, which I think is a very good possibility, because the only draft boards I've seen him on, I've seen him on one NBA draft board, and it was at number 60, which is the last pick. So he'd have to have a pretty good combine. And have to be pretty good in interviews. And, you know, one thing he has going for him, and also he has going against him, is he knows Fred Hoiberg, and Fred Hoiberg knows all the GMs. And so they're all going to be curious about this Cam Mack kid, and Fred's going to be honest with them, which is a good thing and a bad thing. A good thing because he can tell them how talented he is, and a bad thing because he can shed some light on all of his suspensions and his off-the-court issues. So he's basically – I mean, he's technically currently on – Nebraska's roster, but he's more than likely gone. And then there's DeShawn Burke, who, as far as we know, again, is also still technically on the roster. I don't think that he's been back in Lincoln since the Big Ten tournament. He obviously didn't go and didn't play. It kind of seemed like he was going to be leaving, but just because it seems like he's leaving doesn't mean he's gone. He's still technically on the roster, still technically a scholarship spot. So at this moment, there's 13 players, 13 scholarships. That includes Cam and Deshaun. Amid all of that, that also includes Kobe Webster, who's a Western Illinois point guard who he played 3 years there in the Summit League, scored 17 points a game in the last 2 years. At the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis, he's from Indianapolis. Fred Hoiberg and Matt Abdelmassi met with him and basically asked him, like, will you come be our next point guard? This was before Cam technically declared for the draft, but they obviously knew what was going to happen there. So he said yes, he's going to come to Nebraska, be the new point guard. He seems excited about that. I'm curious how he'll fit in with everyone else. What we're basically barreling toward right now, we can get into this a little bit more, is there's basically three different sets of players that Fred Hoiberg's going to have to try and smash together. There's the people that, you know, played last year that recorded minutes. So right now that's Deshaun Burke, Thor, Akol, Kevin Cross, and Ivan Wydrago. You have to mix them in with sit-out transfers. So that's Shamil Stevenson, Derek Walker, and Delano Banton. And also mix those in with new guys, which would be Kobe Webster, Kobe King from Wisconsin, Teddy Allen, and Lat Mayen. And that doesn't even take in consideration potentially two more roster spots, two more new guys with Cam and Deshaun, and maybe even a couple more. Like, we don't really know what Akol Arope wants to do or what Kevin Cross would want to do. I mean, there's just – you don't know where they're at right now because we haven't talked to them, and obviously they've met with Fred this week. And if you just think realistically, those two guys are probably not going to play a ton next year. So what it's kind of, again, rolling toward is maybe 9 or 10 new guys coming into the roster, or 10 new guys that are eligible next year, which is a total roster overhaul from the year prior, for the second straight time. So I've been asked a couple times, and even this week, of like, what does Nebraska basketball look like next year? And I don't know. Like, I don't know, because I don't know who's going to stay, who's going to go, who they could potentially add that could start, who, if they had somebody that's that good, does that mean somebody else leaves? Like, it's just kind of a mixing bowl right now, and I don't really know how it shakes out yet.
So why do you think maybe Cam Mack will go? I mean, obviously Europe is going to maybe be closed because of the virus, but you think Cam Mack might actually go back to college and potentially sit out a year and play somewhere else?
Maybe. I mean, if he can't play in the NBA and he can't go to Europe and he can't go to Asia, like, what else do you do? You know what I mean? Like, maybe you try and play in the G League, but I don't know if that's something that he would necessarily thrive in. So he might. I mean, he technically hasn't sat out a year yet. He played a little bit and then played at Salt Lake. So he has 2 years to do it. So he could. I mean, I think that the relationship between him and Nebraska is basically, like, I don't think it's to the point where he's going to return, especially now that they have a new point guard in Kobe Webster. And, I mean, I think in some ways – Cam came here to do what he did. I mean, he got his name out there. He got his triple-double. He raised his profile, and he's talked somewhat openly on his social media accounts about how he wants to be one and done and go to the NBA. And so now he's
go to the league.
He wants to leave. I mean, like, there were small moments, even, like, you know, I think there was a 4-game stretch where he averaged like 17 a game and, you know, a couple assists, you know, like 6 assists and 4 rebounds or something like that, or 4 assists and 6 rebounds. I can't remember what it was. But after that, you kind of saw him check out. And I think that you could look at that as him being like, all right, I did what I needed to do. Like, check mark, let's go to the next thing. And that could be part of the reason why he was suspended so many times at the end of the year, because he just wasn't doing the things he needed to be doing. And I think that that frustrated the coaching staff. I think that, you know, after the final home game, he's tweeting out, like, thanks, Lincoln, with a heart emoji of, like, that reads like a goodbye. And so, I mean, I think I would just be surprised. I would be kind of like not his plan to go somewhere else and sit out, but I don't see him coming back to Nebraska. Now that door is still open, I think, because he's technically still on scholarship, but I mean, I don't think that you go and ask Kobe Webster to come be your point guard if you feel like K-Mac is going to be returning, because he was supposed to be your point guard for the next 3 years.
What kind of player is Kobe Webster? Is he, you know, is he similar to Mac? Is he a little bit similar to Burke? I mean, who would you compare him to?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe a little bit more like Glenn Watson, okay, where he can score in bunches when he needs to. Smaller, can kind of weave through traffic. Volume shooter, volume scorer. The one thing that we talked about that he kept bringing up is just this idea of a five-out offense and how well he thinks he fits in that and how he wants to show. And, you know, to his credit, again, all these guys want to make the NBA or go play professionally. He needs to maybe show a little bit more of, you know, that he can be a distributor. And that's one thing that he and Fred Hoiberg talked about a lot was him getting in the lane, making plays, and also, you know, distributing it out. He mentioned, you know, you're going to have shooters in the wings and you're going to have so many different people that are slashers and whatnot. So I think, I mean, he's a little bit smaller. He's like 6'1", 160. So he's not gonna wow you with his athleticism, really. I just think he's somebody who, I mean, the plan with Delano Banton and Cam Mack was to have both of them on the floor at the same time, and basically just whoever got the rebound, whoever got the outlet, like that's who's running the point in that possession, or that's who's going to run that set. And you kind of had two point guards. I think that this is the same thing where you'll have Kobe Webster and you also have Delano Banton, but Kobe Webster is probably a little bit less of a dynamic playmaker as Cam, maybe a little less over, you know, well-rounded, but I think that he, the fact that he's played Division I basketball before, the fact that he's run some Division I teams before, that really helps. So maybe just a little bit more of a mature, knows what he needs to be doing point guard who can help Delano Banton out in terms of kind of running the point.
Who do you expect if you were going to say who's a lock to return? I mean, other than the three players who sat out.
Yeah.
Them. The players who played this year, who's a lock to return?
So Ivan, I hate that I'm going to say the sentence I am, but Ivan did say on Instagram that he's returning.
Right.
So you can lock him in, and he's got a good relationship with the coaching staff. He's a hard worker. The coaches took a chance on him. They really like him. So I'd say he's going to return. I would be really surprised if Thor didn't return. I think that he's going to. I don't know the benefits of him leaving. I don't think that there's a benefit for him to go to another Division I basketball program. I also don't think that he is ready to leave college and go back home and play professionally in Iceland. I think that, I mean, his dad has a pretty high profile job, in Europe, and education is a pretty big deal in that family. So I don't think he's going to leave without being graduated. So I think that Thor is going to stay. He's also somebody that the coaches really like, and I don't think there's any benefit for him leaving. So I would say those two. Kevin Cross is somebody who, when you look at their roster of next year, I just don't know how you see him playing a ton. That's that's the problem with Kevin, I think, right now, is he's going to be behind or be competing with, you know, Teddy Allen, Shamil Stevenson, Lat Mayen, technically Delano Banton, because Delano's going to, you could slip him in technically at the four, but he could be the point guard as well and can handle the ball better than Kevin. And so, like, he's somebody who's maybe going to play 8 to 12 minutes a game. And so if that's something that he wants, he can stay. If that's something he doesn't, then he might leave. I don't really know about Cole as well. You know, Cole, somebody who, again, didn't play very much. And when you slip him into, like, well, if he's the 2 or the 3, even though he's a little bit taller, you know, he's going to be competing time with Kobe King if he becomes eligible, and Teddy Allen, and again, Shamil, and technically Thor, and I don't know where he kind of gets playing time either. I don't know what they're going to do, but that's kind of the conversations I imagine they're having with themselves. It's just when you look at who they're bringing in and who they're going to be competing with playing time with, you know, you'd like to bet on yourself, but sometimes you have to be realistic. So those are two that I'm kind of wondering about.
You know, Cross, he had some good games. I don't know. I mean, he had a good game late in the season, to be very honest with you.
23 or 26 against Indiana, right?
In the final game. Yeah, he did. I mean, it was about – he was kind of due to hit some of the shots that he'd missed for games on end.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, this is a guy who likes shooting three-pointers. He shot 3.6 of them per game, and he only made 27.6%. And that thing's got to give – you know, if he were making 35% of his shots from three-point range, he would have been a double-figure scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'd be saying, hey, you know, man, this guy's got to come back. I mean, he's got some ability to fill it up. He reminds me a little bit of Jariah Horn, who turned out to be a really good player at Tulsa and mm-hmm. was a decent three-point shooter. You could tell he could score, but he couldn't quite figure it out in Tim Miles' system. He was only here for a year, and then he left. And I think Cross is one of those guys that they probably ought to try to take another year on, but I'm not sure they're going to. So I'm looking up Jariah Horn's numbers, and he shot 33% from three-point range. And then when he went to Tulsa, he's been good there. He's been a very efficient scorer for Tulsa, and he's 6'7", 220. Kevin Cross, 6'8", 230, 240, something like that. So
240, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Similar players. And I think Horn could have helped Nebraska. Now, see, he was a freshman in 2016, 2017, so he was a junior this season. So I think he actually could have helped Nebraska this year. Mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see if they keep Cross. I feel like if you can work on that guy's shot and you can get it a little bit better, you might be having a guy on your team who can help you and who can make a couple three-pointers a game and becomes a valuable piece. But I think you're right in the sense that I believe he averaged 18 minutes a game this season, somewhere in there. And that's probably not what he's going to be getting in the new roster.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where there were points where they really – I mean, Kevin – they really liked a lot of things that he was doing, to be completely honest.
He's got a skill set. Yeah, he does. Can
I mean, he scored 23 against Indiana, like in a game in which you don't have seven scholarship players, two of which one was a former walk-on and one is a Cole who maybe needed a year to redshirt.
Mm-hmm.
If you have two more scholarship players that just a normal roster and Kevin gives you 23, you have a probably pretty good chance to win. The problem is the games when he goes in, shoots a couple threes right in a row, misses them, you can kind of tell his energy isn't there and you have to sit him on the bench. And that's something that happens with being a freshman. But
right.
I mean, it was one of those things where just every now and then he'd remind you, like, hey, I'm pretty good. I mean, he had 17 at Wisconsin. He had 17 against Michigan. And then he didn't score in double figures for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He didn't score more than 5 points for 7 straight games. And then he ends the season with 10 at Minnesota and then 23 in Indiana. And so it's one of those things where – you can see it, but can he beat out somebody in the second roster, or excuse me, in the second team to get some playing time? And when he does get playing time, can he improve? And I personally think that I would lean on the side of, like, keep your guys around as long as you can and build them up so that they have shared experiences together, so that whenever they are playing together and as a senior, they can remember what happened sophomore or freshman year when they were bad or whatever. That's what happened at Iowa State with, there was kind of a core group of guys under Fred Hoiberg. That's what happened with Virginia when they lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Same group of guys come back the next year, they win the national title. Same thing happened with Creighton, where they get their butt kicked by Nebraska by 20 and 1 year, and they're kind of okay. They return the same core and they win the Big East. And so I think that there's definitely a benefit of keeping Kevin and Nicole and Ivan and, you know, in a way Cam. Like, I think that there would have been a benefit of keeping those guys around, because then you have some sort of core. The counter argument to that is now, well, maybe your core is actually, you know, Teddy Allen, Delano Banton, Shamil, Derek Walker. You get those guys for 2 years. There's your core, I guess. I don't know what the roster looks like even 2 or 3 weeks from now, because they're still in the transfer portal, trying to get everybody that they can. They've contacted, you know, a ton of different guys, including Kevin Marfo, who led the country in rebounds last year, and he's 6'8", 245. So like,
where is he transferring from?
Quinnipiac.
Oh.
So he had 13 boards a game. You also have to like, so again, so they've contacted him. They've contacted DJ Carton out of Ohio State, even though they have Kobe Webster at point guard. He'd be the senior point guard, and then DJ could theoretically, you know, come and be the point guard the year after that.
I think he's going. He's going to a richer, piece of cake.
I'm not saying they're going to get him. What I'm saying is, though, is they're looking at that. You know what I mean? Like, they're looking at so many, like, but they would have to fill a scholarship if they wanted another point guard. The point is, they're looking at that point guard position. They've got this Virginia Tech transfer who's 6'7", 230. They're looking at a 6'4" ACC guard from Pittsburgh. They're looking at a 6'8", 250-pound LaSalle transfer. They're clearly still on the lookout for guys. And that's interesting to me because obviously you have to fill those two spots if Cam and Deshaun don't come back, but it's just total reorganization again for the second year in a row.
Nebraska just got a football commit. What do you know about that?
Really?
Yeah, they did. Are you watching that, Evan?
I just saw it. Yeah. Chris Paul.
Christopher Paul Jr.
A different Chris Paul.
Yeah. From Georgia. Is committed to Nebraska. Look at that. Look at that.
Breaking news on this podcast.
Crisp County inside linebacker. He was very interested in Nebraska and was going to take a visit this summer. Has visits to Cincinnati. He had an offer from Michigan State as well. He's went ahead and pulled the trigger for the Big Red. So I guess we'll have to catch up with him. Evan, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about recruiting and just some of the things that you've heard about how Nebraska is going about this. Obviously, they got this guy, so how they've gone about it and how they're going to continue to go about it from here.
Yeah, actually, the commitment is a pretty perfect segue into kind of the.
Hello.
I mean, it really is. Just
we've lost that.
No, yeah, I can hear him.
You froze.
I'm here.
You're frozen at the stadium. There he is.
Okay. Yeah. No. It's a great segue into kind of life in quarantine, right? Like, I talked to a couple of recruits this week. Nebraska has put out 6 or 7 offers, known offers here since things started shutting down about a week ago, and it's a weird time because the offers keep going out. You know, if you're a coach, Nebraska's putting out the offers. They're texting players. They're talking to players. They're doing Zoom just like we are right here. And so, you know, that's all the coaches really can do. Obviously, spring practice isn't happening. Their own players are scattered. So that's
– keep going.
That's a big thing that they're doing. But the player perspective, I think, is a little bit different because, you know, so many of these guys, especially now with the early signing period and how everything's been moved up, so many of these guys have been planning it out in March and April. You know, last year we saw a lot of official commitments or official visits over the summer, and that led to earlier commitments. Most Big Ten schools had their classes wrapped up by that early period in December. But what you're seeing right now with all these cancellations is that, you know, players are in a tough spot. High school seniors are because
I believe we are. Are you getting this? Are you getting this audio from Chris or from Evan at all?
Yeah, I can hear him. Yeah, I can hear him.
Okay. I'm having a harder time. That's okay. Keep going.
So I think these high school seniors that, or these high school juniors, I should say, these class of 2021s are in a tough spot because they all want to campus and see it in person. And if you follow Nebraska recruiting at all, that's always a common theme is that, man, once they got on campus, they saw, you know, their eyes were opened up and it wasn't cornfields or whatever it might be. But these kids are in a tough spot now where they're not being able to see whatever school in person. And yet the coaches are blowing them up all the time. They're accessible all the time because they're not in school. The kids are at home bored too. They're trying to train on their own. And you know, on the flip side of it, as a player, a lot of these guys start to feel the pressure of, man, if I want to get with this school, I better, you know, reserve my spot. I better commit now, even if maybe I'm not fully comfortable with things, even if I haven't maybe done my due diligence because of this virus. And so it's just kind of an odd time where a lot of these guys had thought, man, I want to commit before my senior year. I want to get that done. And now suddenly that timetable is wrecked, and they don't really have a long-term game plan for that, because who knows when things open up again, when things clear up. So it's a really odd time from a kid's perspective. And, you know, not to say that this is the case with Chris Paul Jr., but, you know, you kind of get the sense, and you wrote a little about it too, Sam, that some commitments that'll be made in the next month or two or whatever, you wonder how strong they are, because oftentimes these kids haven't fully done their due diligence in looking around. So it's really interesting.
Well, the recruiting analysts seem to think, and this proves it, that Chris Paul is committed, that kids are still going to commit, that the commitment levels are going to be just as frequent as they were, in part because the coaches are going to say, I don't know when this thing's going to open back up because of this virus. Mm-hmm. So you might want to get on board now, because who knows where we're going to be in 4 or 5 months. You know, if you might want to get into this thing now so we can kind of know that you're there, so that, you know, if you can't get up here on a visit or things kind of go haywire, you've secured your place. Kind of like you better go hoard the recruits and the toilet paper now, right? I'm just kidding. but, you know, this idea that they want, what the analyst said, especially Mike Farrell, is that the coaches aren't going to stop trying to get the commits. And, in fact, they're probably going to work harder to get them because they're going to have more time because they're not coaching their kids in spring camp. And so they got a chance to talk all day long to these kids. And Paul was an example of that, of committing. I think that the idea is nothing's going to slow down just because of the virus. This is one thing that you can do. One, two, that there's going to be a lot of commitments that end up leading to decommitments later on when you have kids who decide, because they go visit some other place, well, I like this place more and I committed to XYZ in order to hold my place, but I actually like this place more than I do. Now, Paul, I believe, has seen Nebraska, has he not, Evan? He's visited here.
Yeah, he has, yep.
Okay, so he's been here before, so he's not committing sight unseen. I think a couple players in the last week have committed sight unseen. But so there's an expectation and understanding this stuff is just going to keep going. There's going to be more decommitments on the back end, and if you have a situation where the early signing period is postponed or eliminated for this year, one thing that Farrell said is that the Blue Bloods, the big programs, are going to try to take advantage of that by picking off some of the best players on any given class between December and February. And what the early signing date had eliminated was those extra 2 months that schools like Alabama or Auburn or wherever had to pick those players off other teams' recruiting lists. By the end of the season, for example, Alabama, let's say they play in the SEC Championship, that's December 6th. Well, they only have 2 or 3 weeks to go out and try to pick players off of their recruiting class lists. If they suspend the early signing period for this year and they take it over to February, then chances are good they're going to have more time. LSU will have more time. Other programs will have more time. And so it's going to affect it on that level. The Nebraska women's basketball team is actually conducting virtual tours right now where they're trying to add to their 2020 recruiting class and do it from that perspective. And then they have the player kind of show them their home because they can't do an in-home visit right now. And then they kind of show them the facilities. And so they'll just kind of turn their
FaceTime?
Yes. Just FaceTime or Zoom or Skype. Yep. They try to do it with all of those. And so even though the basketball facilities are sort of empty, Amy Williams and her assistants are sort of trying to show the recruits kind of the facilities and trying to show them what they would have normally seen on an in-person visit. Likewise, they're asking the athletes to say, hey, you know, show me your life at home, because that's something that the coaches get to see when they make in-home visits. So it's a pretty interesting process that they're going through right now, and they're sort of on the front end of the innovation of it. It's not easy. Everybody is, you know, sort of fixated to their social media or their TV a couple times a day wondering if this is going to get better or worse or what the heck's going to happen. And, you know, it just keeps But these coaches try to keep working. And so I think one of the things they try to do is focus on what they can do, their jobs, versus trying to focus on, who knows, you know, the uncontrollables, the completely uncontrollables of the disease. There's only so much that any of us can do. And that is, we can all stay at home, right? And we can all do our best to sanitize, but we can't control anybody else. So it's one of those situations where if you focus on that all day long, man, it seems big and overpowering. So I think the coaches are trying to do the best they can to focus on the things that they would normally do. They're just doing it in a little bit different way.
Yeah. Smart. Do you think that's effective? Like, I don't know, if you're seeing something virtually, can that come close to replicating being there in person? Like,
to be fair, Evan, it does kind of feel like I'm at Memorial Stadium while I'm watching you because of the photo. So I get it. It's like I'm getting a virtual tour of a Husker football game.
Yeah.
Maybe a virtual tour like 6 years ago. If you look at North Stadium, it maybe doesn't look quite like it.
Here's what I would say is that things that used to be, you know, whatever 2 weeks ago are all of a sudden a big deal. Like, you would normally meet with a friend in person. You normally have lunch with them. Well, you're not going to have lunch with them right now. That's not going to happen, more than likely. What you can do with them is doing exactly what we're doing right now. We would never do a podcast like this if we could meet in person, because the production value of this isn't going to be as good as what we have in a studio and all of that. I mean, look at me, right? So, but this is what you do when you have nothing else to do, and it suddenly becomes far more valuable than it did just 2 weeks ago. And so I think sometimes athletes are like, this is the extra mile they're willing to go for us in order to do X, Y, and Z. And I think that's part of why it's popular and something worth doing.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to work. I think it's going to lead to more decommitments down the road, presuming that we have a football season, presuming all of those things, which I don't know that we can presume at this point. I think the hope is that over the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, I can't even imagine staying inside for four or six more weeks, at least for our kids. They're, man. But, you know, hopefully in 4 to 6 weeks, we see something that makes us believe that the football season can happen. Spring football can happen. I just don't know that that's going to happen.
The only thing I would add is I think this is the natural reaction for coaches is just, well, if we can't go there, then let's show them. You know what I mean? Like, we still need to continue to recruit. Because in there, I mean, and I don't mean this in a particularly negative way, but just like in their mind, football is life, must continue to sustain football, must continue to recruit. Football season will happen in their mind. So like we just have to continue to be. What they don't want is, you know, I read a book, I don't know, when I was 10, about Larry Bird, right? And Larry Bird every night used to, when he was a teenager, go outside and shoot hoops at his on his driveway. And he would do it for long enough where, like, he would play around the horn. And so he would try and make sure he around the horn and make sure he hit every shot. And then he had to make sure it was the perfect swish. And then when he got good at that, it was, I'm going to make sure that the swish and the spin on the ball is so perfect that it goes right to the next spot. So whatever. And his whole thing was like, there's somebody out there that's working harder than me. So I need to make sure I'm working harder than everybody else. And I think for football coaches in their minds, they're thinking, well, if we don't do this now, Ohio State is continuing to recruit and Alabama,
right,
whoever, in Iowa, like, so we can't stop this now. We have to pretend like this is, you know, normal times. And even though we can't be somewhere, we have to do the same things we usually do. So it makes sense to just be like FaceTiming everybody all the time and still trying to get commits and whatever. Cause in their mind, college sports is extremely competitive and they don't want to make sure somebody else gets a step up from them. So I think that it's kind of natural of making sure that you're still kind of in on the ground floor with all these guys.
Hmm. Evan, you had talked to several Husker football players about what it's going to mean to, not have spring football. I know you talked to a bunch. Mm-hmm. And what was their general sentiment?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for people to read the story because you know, when you think about the prospects of just missing a whole spring, like you can kind of talk generally about, you know, you're going to miss time in the system or you're not going to get a chance to prove yourself or whatever. But like, I thought talking to a lot of these guys, players from the last, you know, 15 years or so, that they really, to me, the intriguing part of it was kind of the what if question. You know, I would ask, what if you guys missed a spring? Like, how would that have changed how guys developed, how guys came together, whatever it might be? And, you know, a lot of really interesting pieces to it. You know, I talked to Joe Gans, former quarterback, and he had a lot of really interesting things to say. One of them was the idea that in 2008, the spring of 2008, he was the guy. Everyone knew he was the guy going in. He didn't really need the physical reps. He didn't really even need the mental side of it much. But well, he said what was really key for him in that spot was to develop as a leader and to know what, you know, how his teammates ticked and what got them going, what shut them down, things like that. And so, you know, he said, man, with a guy like Adrian Martinez, who might be in a similar spot, what he's missing most of all is that chance to develop as a leader and to really continue to make that offense his and to maybe take that next step. And he said, if I didn't have that, you know, the offense probably would have been pretty good still. He would have known what he was doing, but it wouldn't have been as close, and it would have lost something a little more intangible with what.
And it was very, very good in 2008. It was very good.
Yeah. You know, talk to a couple O linemen who just kind of audibly groaned at the idea that, man, these guys are going to miss a spring. And yeah, it helps that Nebraska has all five starters back. Mm-hmm. You know, if they chose to go that route, that helps. But you're missing out on the battles that we could have seen this spring, whether that meant moving Matt Farniok from right tackle to left guard and what could have come out of that. You know, the six 2019 O linemen that redshirted last year, this, a lot of the guys said, man, that's a killer blow for those guys, because this was their chance to show what they've learned, the chance to show how their bodies have improved and adjust to that in a football setting, and said, like, you know, they have to find a way to simulate something elsewhere, some way to kind of go through the drills, the techniques, how to read a defense. Like, that's really killer is kind of what those guys said. And so, you know, that was interesting. And then again, you just go through, just think yourselves, you know, in the last 15 years, just different Huskers that made moves in the spring that carried over. We mentioned you and I, Sam, Luke Gifford was a guy who kind of figured things out.
Right.
Just figure that out, you know, and it's a big experimentation time. Like, hey, if you're on the D line and you're making the switch, like that's a big deal. If you're Cam Jurgens and you're making the switch from tight end to center, like those springs are huge to learn that in a
low, that's a good point about Cam. Yeah.
In really a low pressure environment where you're not talking about preparing for an opponent or winning or losing a game, you can just go out and kind of figure it out and see what you have. So I think when people read it and it kind of illustrates how springs of the past have been valuable and you see what you're missing, it really kind of paints this picture that, you know, they're going to have to get creative, that summer is going to be especially important for evaluations, and that maybe they're not going to be able to tinker around as much as they'd like to.
The only other thing I would add too, it's all super interesting, but as you were talking, the thing that came to my mind too is, boy, bowl practices are really valuable right now.
Yeah, they are.
And Nebraska's not had one in a while. And so that Iowa game comes to mind too, of that's the loss to Iowa becomes even more prevalent because that means no bowl practices and no spring, and, you know, quite a few of your main competitors in the Big Ten got to go to bowls and got that practice in where they were able to kind of do some of those small things. And now Nebraska missed out on both of those.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I look forward to reading the story. I'm glad that you wrote it. I think it'll be very interesting. We're going to get to work on a kid who just committed to Nebraska, and we'll see what happens with the basketball team. I got to think there's going to be more people who announce they're leaving here over the next three to five days. If you're just listening to this podcast, make sure to read Chris's story. We're not going to talk about it, Chris, but it's really cool about going and finding a playground basketball when March Madness is gone. So maybe we'll watch a couple of March Madness games this weekend. Other people can check out our Husker binge list. I'll probably do in the binge list because I'll take college football over college basketball, old college basketball games.
Thanks. On Sunday at noon, Sam.
I know. Yeah.
There's actually quite a few, like 2019 games that are playing on Sunday.
I know. And I think the 92 Duke Kentucky game is on Saturday. So,
oh, is it?
I might have to watch that. I remember watching that game from a hotel room in Kearney while my parents were doing something. I don't know. I wasn't old enough to be on my own, or I went with them because it was like a 2 or 3 day trip and we were going to other towns. And so they didn't want to leave me at home because I was only, I don't know how old I was, 14 or something. And so I remember watching that game from a hotel room by myself. It was really good, though.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for our podcast this week. We'll try to get back next week. Thanks to our listeners and our viewers for kind of putting up with a few of the audio and the video issues. We will be back next week. Stay safe, everybody, and do the social distancing. Thanks.